We are glad that you are here this morning to join with us.
Please let's pray together. Our Lord, we do praise you. We are your servants, and you bought and paid dearly for us. In this sanctuary today, we lift our hands and our hearts and voices to worship you, the Lord God, who poured out your mercy and compassion to us in Christ, that we may live as a celebrating, grateful people, new vessels made for you. We bow before you in worship and gratitude with new hearts, hungry for you, ready to serve. But we are sorry that we so quickly forget what we are to be about, whose we are, what you have done, and that we now belong to you. We are sorry that we kind of measure out our love so often. It doesn't quite flow. Many times we don't look to you, lean on you, and learn from you. We want our delight to be in you, and we wrestle with our divided hearts. But thanks to you, our God, through Jesus Christ, you free us from guilt and condemnation and set us in a new purpose, a new hope, a new power. As we reach out into the broken and painful places around us, we thank you so much for the VBS week and all the people involved, all the children you brought here. And we ask that you would have reverberations continue on throughout the lives of these children that reflect your love, your power, your hope, your forgiveness, and joy. Help us to reflect you in your ways in all that we do, our time, resources, relationships, our work and play. Help us to notice and even look for your nudges or pokes as you draw us into places where we can be your light, bring your hope, work your redemption, and breathe your compassion. Would you help and comfort those who are sick, have lost hope, or homes, or loved ones? Would you please give guidance to our leaders everywhere, our churches, our cities, our states, and our countries around the world? And together, as you taught us to pray, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, this morning, we are reading from the book of Philippians, which is one of Paul's last letters that he wrote towards the end of his life. This may have been the last letter that Paul wrote before he died, St. Paul. So we're reading this morning. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, Paul writes, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And we can just stop right there. That's fine. That's enough for us to absorb this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your mercies to us in Christ Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, if you didn't notice some children around here, you haven't been here this morning. we're celebrating children this morning. We're celebrating VBS. We're also celebrating Holy Communion. We're going to have that in a moment. So I decided to begin this communion meditation with a children's story that has always been one of my favorites because it has theological depth and leads us into communion well, I think. So perhaps you know the story of the giving tree. Once there was a tree, and this tree loved a little boy. Every day the boy would come and play. He would climb the trunk of the tree and swing from the tree's branches, eat apples that grew from the tree, and rest in the shade of the tree. The tree was very happy when the boy did these things because the tree loved the boy. But time went by and the boy began to get older and the tree was often alone. And one day the boy came to the tree and the tree was so happy to see the boy. And the tree invited him to play. Swing from my branches, boy, invited the tree. Eat my apples and sit in my shade. But the boy said, I don't have time to play with you, tree. I want money. I want to buy things that will make me happy. Do you have money for me, tree? I have no money, said the tree, but I have apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. So the boy picked every single apple off the tree and carried them away. After that, the tree didn't see the boy for a very, very long time. The tree was sad. It missed the boy. But one day the boy came back and the tree was so happy. It trembled with joy to see him again. Come, said the tree. Come, boy, climb up my trunk, swing from my branches and be happy. Yuck, said the boy, who is now a man. I don't want to do that. I am too busy. I want a house to keep me warm. Give me a house. I have no house, said the tree, but cut off my branches and build one. So the boy cut off every branch the tree had and went away to build a house. This time the boy, who was now a man, was gone for years. It seemed to the tree like it was forever. And then one day, he finally came back. And the tree was so happy it could hardly speak. Come, the tree whispered, delighted to have the boy near. Come and play, boy. Swing from my branches and climb up my trunk. I'm too old and sad, said the boy, who was an aging man. I want a boat that will take me away from here. Can you give me a boat, tree? Cut down my trunk and make a boat, said the tree. So the boy cut down the trunk of the tree and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree didn't see the boy again for a long, long time. In fact, it was so long that the tree lost track of time. Finally, aged and stooped, the boy, who was now an old man, returned. And the tree said to him, I have nothing left to give you. I have given all that I have. It is okay, said the boy. I am tired, and I need a place to rest. Well, said the tree, straightening itself up as high as it could. Come, boy, sit down and rest. And the boy did, and the tree was happy. This is my paraphrase of Shel Silverstein's magnificent work in that children's book. And this story has a hold of me. It moves me in a deep way every time I read it. I think this is because when put into a theological framework, the greatest giving tree in all history was the giving tree of the cross. There's no greater symbol of God's sacrificial love. There's no greater moment when we see divine grace so lavishly poured out. Here it was on the giving tree that Jesus, in the RSV version of Scripture, says in that same passage we read, Jesus emptied himself, gave everything he had, poured himself out for us, no holds barred. And as he empties himself on this cross, it doesn't seem to bother him that he's dying and pouring himself out in utter agony for a fickle and unfaithful wandering band of folks whom Jesus described as people who know not what they do. As you may know, ever since Eden, God has cried out to humankind, where are you? And in an attempt to find us again, after enduring long absences from us as we pursued our wants and desires, during which God gives his people the law to help guide them in the Old Testament, gives into their demand for a human king, hears their groans and frees them from slavery in Exodus, feeds them with manna when they complain, writes poetry of love and sonnets of deliverance for them, speaks to them in prophecy, calls out to his people in scripture, begs them to be faithful, works miracles on battlefields and in human relationships, brings his people to a promised land flowing with milk and honey. Like the boy in the giving tree, they never seem to be quite satisfied with any of that. No matter how much is given, the history of the scriptures reveals to us that there was always something more the people wanted. Something more that needed fixing or that wasn't quite right. They never trusted God entirely. They never really got it, the extent to which God would go to have a love relationship with them. They never really got the magnanimity and generosity of God's divine heart. So finally, after everything that could be done was done, and the people still were not happy, still wandered off, worshipped other gods, violated God's commands, God in Jesus Christ decided to become like his own creation, to reveal his love to people in a way they could understand. I've preached on this Philippians text before and indicated to you that this was an intentional, divine act of downward mobility. The first half of this text that we read this morning, this early hymn, is about God's downward movement in love toward humanity. It's all about God going down as low as he can possibly go to win us back to himself. Brennan Manning, whom I love to quote, calls God a lovesick God. So lovesick for his creation that he cannot stand still. He must go find them. He must seek them out. He must do everything possible to woo them, convince them, draw them back to himself. The depths of God's longing for us, the extent of his grace, drew him down, down, down to the point where the text says he went so low that he wasn't only rejected and he didn't only die. He dies a criminal's death. And that's indicated by the words we read that say even death on a cross. In other words, you can't go any lower than that. The saying at the time was, cursed be anyone who hangs on a tree, even a giving tree. And it is this love of Jesus, the divine willingness to pour out everything on the giving tree of the cross, that rivets me to the Christian faith. It moves me every time I think about God's longing, God's desire for us, because no other God in any religion actively pursues people with the relentless, passionate affection of the God of Jesus Christ. No other God in any religion is interested in a close personal relationship with created beings whom Jesus actually says he wants as his intimate friends. No other divine being that has ever been created in literature or ancient scripture encompasses this kind of compassion and mercy toward floundering humanity. Extends such a warm welcome to the outcast and the destitute, lavishes such promises of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life upon mortal people of 80 and 10. No other divine being has ever turned so many wretched lives around on this earth, brought so much hope to hopeless people, touched so many folks with healing power. This, friends, is the God of the giving tree. Paul knew the God of the giving tree. And I just want to draw your attention for a moment to Paul's journey, which the kids were working on all week. They were working on a geographical journey as Paul went from place to place. But Paul also had a spiritual journey that I want to share with you. As I said, Philippians is one of the last letters Paul writes. In that book, he says, I count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything is loss. You recognize an emptying here on Paul's part? Everything is lost. Paul learned in the end to empty himself and take on the form of a servant in the same way that Jesus, the Lord of the giving tree, had done for him. It's interesting, too, to note, those of you who like to read the Bible and know it well, that in most of the other earlier letters, Paul writes, he addresses himself at the beginning, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, somewhere in the salutation at the beginning. In other words, I am Paul, and I am sent and commissioned by God. And there's nothing wrong with this, but in Philippians, there's a different tone, a humbler one, a deeper one, a tone that comes after you've walked with Jesus for a while. Paul writes to the Philippians and introduces himself And not just himself. He introduces Timothy too, and this is all that he says. He simply says, Paul and Timothy, servants, servants of Christ Jesus. This humility of the God of the giving tree hit home for me this past week at VBS. There were many children who gave their life to Christ for the very first time. That's why we do VBS. You might look up here that, what is all this? Do we just do it to have a lot of fun? Well, we have a lot of fun, but there's a goal, there's a purpose. It's to introduce children to Jesus. We do this, and it happens. The way, just so you know, we offer children an opportunity to know Christ is we don't want it to be a mass confession. We want the children to make their own decision. So what I do is I go to each group during the course of the week, and I explain to the children that all they have to do is ask, and Jesus will come and live in their heart. But I ask them to do it on their own. And if they do it on their own, they tell their teachers, and then the teachers come to me, and then I spend a little time with them in my office, talking to them and praying with them. Well, if they do this, I usually give them Bible or cross, and this symbolizes the decision that they made. But this year, I was very moved by the first and the last child. I want to share those stories with you. The first child who came to me moved me deeply. He was so small. He couldn't have been more than 3 feet tall. I think he must have been 6 or something, but he was so small. And he had a big floppy hat and tiny little shoes. And I remember when I saw him, I thought, this child's too young. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no idea what he's doing. And so I asked him, I said, what are you here for, honey? He was came to me in my office. What are you here for? He looked at me with big eyes and utmost sincerity, and he said, I asked Jesus into my heart. I asked him into my heart last night when it was all quiet, right before I went to bed. And the expression on his face told me that this had been a very intentional decision on his part every step of the way. In fact, he was the first one to come, so he wasn't following the crowd. And he was completely engrossed with me as I told him about Jesus. He was hanging on every word. And when we prayed, his hands were so tightly clasped together, his knuckles were white. The last child to come to me was a girl in about 5th grade. She came up to me at the last minute as VBS was closing. Just walking out the door. I think I'm done. I'm so tired, and I have something else to go to. But one of the teachers came to me and said, this girl needs to talk to you. So I led her to my office, and I asked her about her, what she had done. She had also asked Jesus into her heart the night before. And then I found out that she had come over for the summer from China. Her parents were not Christians. I gave her a Bible and a cross. And she said she knew a church in China where she could attend. Then we prayed. And as I said, I was not feeling particularly spiritual at the moment. I was rushed. I was depleted. I was exhausted. I was empty. And I prayed about a 4-line prayer. When I opened my eyes, she had tears running down her cheeks. And I knew right then we were in the middle of a holy moment. And I looked at her and I said, did you feel Jesus? Did you have an experience of Jesus? Did you feel him in your heart? And she nodded, and she put her hand right here, right here. And then she wiped her tears, and she was gone. I've been doing this sort of thing all my life, right? It's what I do. I'm a pastor. But for some reason, these encounters with these kids moved me deeply this time. And I think what caught me off guard was the realization that I had, for a moment, me dismissed a small child in my head as somehow not measuring up to my expectations. But never, ever did the eternal God of all creation, the God of water, earth, and sky, dismiss him. And I was tired and hurried with another girl, empty and exhausted. And the Holy Spirit rushed to meet her. And I was moved by God's grace that this love affair that God has with his creation includes the smallest ones, dismisses no one, enters in when there is the smallest inclination on our part to allow that to happen, and uses us in our weakness, our emptiness, to effect his purpose. The giving tree loved the little boy. Why? I have no idea. As he grew up, he seemed sort of bratty and entitled to me. And I want to say to God, you who created the universe, you who are all powerful and glorious, who made the seas and the sunsets and the stars, why do you care about us? Why do you insist on giving to us? Why do you wait eagerly for our response to you? What is it about you that won't give up on us in all of our weakness and lack of trust? What is it that makes you respond to small children and hurried, preoccupied prayers? As I stood there and watched that girl leave my office, I wasn't rushed any longer. I was deeply moved, as I said. The Lord impressed upon me in that moment, if that had been the only one on earth, I still would have gone to the giving tree. As God has given to us everything, emptied himself without holding back, may we humble ourselves and open our hearts to receive communion now, emptying them of everything except a desire to know the lover of our souls, who gave us everything he had, that we might enter into a love relationship with him. And as you partake of communion today, become aware, maybe it's the first time, maybe it's the 100th time, 1,000th time, but become aware, center and open up to the reality of God's passionate love for you, his desire to run toward you if you will open your heart just a little, his longing to be with you, his wounded hands extended in forgiveness, his emptying of himself on the cross, the giving tree for your salvation. Let us pray together. Blessed God, as we partake of communion this morning, we thank you, first of all, for these elements of bread and juice that we can understand, that you have given to us to take in. Oh, Lord, allow these common elements to become means of grace for us so that we might experience, so that we might know that we know your passionate love for us. We ask, Lord, that you would remove any guilt that we're carrying this morning, the sins of our past, the heaviness, the worry. I pray, Lord, that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit and bless this sacred time as we partake of your Last Supper. In Jesus' name, pray, amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it, because as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." Ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. Any of you who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to participate. We are doing this by intinction this morning, which simply means that if you want to receive communion, you're invited to come forward. You take a piece of bread from the tray and dip it into the juice. If any of you cannot come forward, we invite you to just lift your hand in the air and someone will come with you eventually, come to you eventually with the elements. Okay. There's also a separate tray for those of you who might have medical concerns or other concerns where you want to take it individually, take individual cups. Those are available as well. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us commune with him together. Please come forward as the Spirit leads. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning and for partaking in communion and just being a part of this fellowship. We're so glad that you're here. If you have any requests that you would like prayed for or thanksgivings, Marvin and Judy, our prayer warriors, are down here. They would love to pray with you. It's always confidential. We always do it in a good way, I think, especially these two. So glad that you're here to pray with folks. So please avail yourself of that opportunity. Also, as you may know already, there's a big celebration outside after church with a pony for the children and a bounce house and a brunch for the adults. And so we invite you to just go out and celebrate God's goodness and his wonderful love. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who loves you and who guides you and who wants to live in you, be with you and abide with you now and forever. Amen.